The content of this podcast should not be considered financial or investment advice. All interviews and discussions are opinions only, and the podcast has been created without taking into consideration the listener's financial objectives, financial situation, or needs. Listeners should obtain independent advice before making any financial decisions. The Explorers podcast is sponsored by RM Capital, a provider of specialist small to mid-cap corporate advisory and boutique wealth management services. Hi, this is Barry Fitzgerald, Garen Perro columnist for Stockhead. Welcome to another edition of the Explorers podcast. The weakness in US dollar gold price has been messing with equity valuations in the Australian market. Garen Perro has no problems with that, given that it's the sentiment around the US dollar gold price, which has long driven sentiment around local equities. But Garen Perro is starting to wonder if the sell-off in gold equities is overdone, given the Australian gold price of more than $2,430 an ounce is actually close to a seven-month high due to weakness in the Aussie dollar. So has value returned to our gold producers, developers and explorers in the wake of US dollar gold price weakness? It certainly looks that way. So it's a good time to be having a look at our gold sector. And we're doing that today by catching up with Musgrave Minerals. It is both an explorer and would-be developer at its flagship project 30 kilometres south of Kew in WA's Murchison region. It has a 660,000 ounce resource under its belt, and it's been creating interest lately in response to high-grade lode discoveries outside of the known resource. The combination of exploration upside, an existing resource, and near-term growth in the resource, does it push ahead with a standalone development? Does it seek out a toll treatment agreement with one of the five operating mills owned by others in the region? Or, as is always is a possibility with these things, does it get taken over at the right price? Musgrave is now trading at 29 cents for a market cap of 154 million. We have its managing director, Rob Waugh, with us today. G'day, Rob. Welcome to the podcast and thanks for your time.
G'day, Barry. Great to be here and give the market a bit of an update and general market update on the gold price as well. So happy to have this chat.
Right. That might be a good point to start out. Do you agree with my points there about the Aussie gold price being at a seven-month high, yet we've seen this sell-off in gold equities and that we might could well be seeing value return to the sector?
Absolutely, Barry. Look, I mean, we've seen this sort of 10% drop in gold price since the high 7 months ago, but we've seen a 30 to 50% drop in share price for producers and explorers. So there's definitely some imbalance there. So my personal view is that there's definitely some bargains to be had, and it's a good time to be buying gold stocks. There's lots of stability. Gold, as far as production goes, gold producers are making money at the moment. Gold explorers have cash from capital raisings over the last 12 months and more, and are putting dollars in the ground and drilling holes. And we all know what drilling holes likely leads to. It likely leads to discoveries and resource growth. So we can see potential for share price increases from the implementation of those funds.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Now your Q project, the flagship. Let's break it down into the known resource and the evolving exploration upside. So first, what have you got in terms of resources there?
Yeah, Break of Day is one of the mainstay deposits. So the Starlight discovery last year increased the Break of Day resource. We're getting some fantastic intersections of like 14 metres of 190 grams per tonne, only 4 metres below surface. So, yeah, as you mentioned, that 660,000 ounces is the mainstay of our resource base at Kew, and Break of Day the main component of that. And the fact that it's such high grade near surface makes it a little bit unique in the gold space in WA at the moment, in that most deposits are either shallow and low grade or higher grade and deeper. So to get high grade near surface is a bit of an anomaly, but one of those anomalies we're very happy to have.
Right. Now, the evolving exploration story, the White Heat, where you've been pulling some exceptional results, to the south of Break of Day. What's the story there?
Yeah, so what we've learnt from the Starlight discovery late in 2020 was that we're seeing some high angle load sets, so high angle quartz veins and loads to the stratigraphy and to the major shear zone orientation. So effectively what this has done is led us to reevaluate the targeting model for Q and test some new targets. And White Heat was one of the first ones that we tested. It's only 300 metres south of the Break of Day deposit, but some fantastic numbers coming up. And we've just announced only about 3 weeks ago, we hit 3.4 metres at 107 grams, only 75 metres below surface. We also hit 6.5 or 6.8 metres at 17.8 that had a high-grade component of 0.7 at 112. So these are just some of the hits. We also had 8.4 metres at 6.8 at 27 metres depth. So what we're seeing in this area is about a 3 or 4 metre zone right at surface of what we call hard pan. So it's a transported overburden or cover sequence that's masked what's below. So that has allowed us to be there, be able to drill holes and find these deposits. But previous explorers struggled to do so, and prospectors very much so, because, you know, as part by the name, hard pan, it is really hard consolidated clay. So you need a jackhammer to get through it or a drill rig. So it's not something you can sort of just shovel your way through. So, it has been able to mask deposits, but led us to this discovery path.
Right. So drilling is continuing as we speak. And I'm just wondering what this breakthrough you've had, what does it mean in terms of the search space, if you like, what you've got there? Has it opened up a lot more regional targets or nearby targets or both?
You know, look, absolutely, Barry. It's a key point. It really has opened up. The total strike of the belt is roughly around that 28 or so kilometres. And so what we're seeing now is parallel structures, which if we can see parallel structures, obviously you increase your search space from one belt to being two or three belts. And we've just made this discovery in a belt only about 900 metres to the west of Break of Day, and we're calling this area the Big Sky area. So we've been getting some phenomenal thick intervals of gold mineralisation in this new area in the Regolith. So again, just below this hard pan, not as high grade as some of the White Heat or Starlight loads, but intervals like 73 metres at 1.4 from just 20 metres below surface, 36 at 1.3 at 30 metres below surface. So thick zones, but modest grade. But this area is soft clay. So it's soft clay down to about 80 or 90 metres, which means it'll be very easy and commercial digging. So very easy to dig out of the ground, near surface. So it means the lower grade is much more economic. And as we've seen, we know that the average sort of open cut gold grade for mines in Australia over the last couple of years is roughly around that 1 to 1.1 gram. So if you can get that grade and it's close to surface, then it's a bonus, because some of those open cut mines are mining at a gram and they're down at 200 or 300 metres. So we think it's, you know, the blending is the other important thing for us, is if we can blend some modest grade at around that gram, a gram and a half, with some really high grade stuff we're seeing at the Starlight or White Heat type loads, it's a really viable position to move forward and getting a viable operation going with blending these types of loads and getting a very profitable operation because of the softness of the dirt and near surface nature.
Yeah, because there's some successful mine developments quite recently based on sub 1 gram gold in WA, and almost celebrated in the market because the cash costs so far are looking okay. So you're even with a blended product, you would still be well north of 1 gram a ton, probably.
Oh, absolutely, Barry. Yeah, we're not sure exactly what that balance will be yet, as we're still drilling and exploring. So the idea really for us is to drill out some of these deposits we're continuing to discover, build the resource base through combinations of really high grade things like White Heat and the lower grade Big Sky, and build that overall resource base up, and then be able to get a balanced portfolio of different deposits to blend in an operating standalone mill. And that's the ideal scenario for us moving forward. We still think there's lots of blue sky as far as the opportunity goes to make new discoveries on top of this. So, lots of upside, and we're generating new ideas all the time. with the team. We've got a good team in place, smart people, and they're generating these ideas that allows us to test new targets, and hopefully that'll be a bit of a boon for us moving forward.
Mm. The one thing I was hoping you would be able to do is try and visualize for listeners the scale of what looks like shaping up as its own mining camp with, deposits 300 metres this way, another one 600 metres that way, sort of feel, rather than a lot of people, I think, particularly over in the east, think that you these things occur in one continuous sort of pit.
Good point. Very good point, actually, Barry. And that's what we do have here, is these multiple deposits that will make up a mining camp. And we're seeing that in most places within the goldfields, that these central mills are fed by multiple deposits in one camp. The original camp up at Great Fingal Golden Crown at Kew, which was the original gold discovery in the district in 1895, is made up of at least six or seven deposits to get to 2 to 3 million ounces. That's fairly normal in the goldfields. It's more abnormal to find it all clunked together in one deposit. Geological systems are complex, and you need to have these traps and trap zones that where the gold is deposited in a concentrated form. So with that in mind, the more we learn, the more we find.
Where the country dives under the Lake Austin, you've got the joint venture there with Evolution, earning, I think it was up to 75% interest if they spend $18 million over 5 years. What's the situation there? They've been working away?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. So they've spent roughly around that $5 million mark at the moment, out five of the 18. They're 2 years in. And drilling away heavily at the moment. So results have been really positive. One of the new targets that Evolution have developed is West Island. Diamond drilling back in June intersected zones like half a metre at 23, 11 and a half metres at 3, 3 at 10, 5 at 5. So we're seeing economic mineralisation below the lake cover, some really broad, what we call regolith anomalies, so in the clay zone, but above the fresh rock. And these are leading to these fresh rock zones below. So Evolution have a diamond rig out at the moment testing these zones. We have a strong interaction on a technical level with Evolution. We're joint managing part of that process of the diamond drilling at the moment, as well as air core drilling on that JV. So it's a good relationship we have with Evolution. They're continuing to build their team up and their presence in WA following the acquisition of Northern Star Skandana operation to blend in with Mungari. So their presence in WA is building, and we have that strong relationship. So it's roughly around 50% of our tenure is in JV with Evolution, and 50% is 100% Musgrave. So just important for the listeners to note that all our existing resources are held 100% by Musgrave, and some of the joint venture ground, as you mentioned, Barry, under the lake is in joint venture with Evolution earning in at that point for that part of it.
As we know, Evolution, I think it's number three gold producer in Australia, $8-9 billion market cap. If and they presumably have a resource target of, I don't know, say 2 million ounces probably. If they weren't to get there and they, I don't know, pulled up at say 1 million ounces, but they didn't want to proceed, what happens then? Does it revert to you guys?
Well, if they haven't spent their $18 million at that point, then yes, it would revert to us. If they've spent their $18 million, obviously they'd have a 75% holding of that 1 million ounces, and then they can transact that how they
trade it,
sell it.
Yep,
do what they want with it. So yeah, there are multiple opportunities, I think, going forward, Barry, as you sort of alluded to, with what could happen with that joint venture. So still early stages and early days, but the exploration results have been good, and we like working with Evolution.
Yeah, well, let's hope they find 5 million ounces.
Oh, absolutely. Good for both parties. And, look, 25% our share of that is still significant. And 5 million ounces for Evolution, or for anybody, is a big prize.
Now, the way I see things, you're finally poised between this. Do you go down the standalone development pathway, or do you go for a toll treatment, or, as I said, does someone come in and make the decision for you by launching a takeover bid? Where do you see the company at the moment on those points?
Look, our preference is to head down that standalone path, Barry. It's really, you control your own destiny. You know, we think we can be successful in the exploration and build the resource base, which will lead to a very viable operation. So that's the intent for us in the short term, is to head down that standalone path. We're pragmatic. We know we can't. There's lots of things we can't control. Gold price being one, activity of other companies in the district being another. So we're pretty intent on focusing on our own knitting in the short term and continuing that exploration push. So longer term, we'll see where we head.
Okay. And you're in, I mentioned earlier, one of the things I like about the company's position is that you have the resource base, but you're still exploring, so that we all expect there'll be additions to the resource base over time. But I was wondering, what do you consider the trigger point to say, okay, guys, let's hit the button on stuck into PFS, DFS on a standalone development? How many ounces will you be needing?
Yeah, good. Another good question, Barry, because what we're doing in the background is doing some PFS level activities on existing deposits at Break of Day and Lena, just to make sure we can head off some of the long lead time items when we eventually push the button and decide to continue with a mining proposal. So it's not a full PFS, but it's just heading off some of those longer lead time items. What we do think at the moment is that we probably have enough to do a smaller scale operation ourselves standalone now. The question is, how big an operation can we get? So that's why we're continuing to explore. We're continuing to find more gold. A critical point will come probably in the next 12 to 18 months. Are we still finding gold? Is it more and bigger deposits than we already have? Or are we at a sort of critical point at that juncture and can make a decision on the size of the plant, which is the real thing we are uncertain about at the moment. Is we think what we have is economic, but what size of plant do we need to build? So if we find more, obviously you push towards a bigger plant. And if you don't find a lot more, but you find marginally more, you can sort of settle on a plant size. So that's the position we're at. But there's lots of upside, and we're hoping to bring that to market and build that resource base.
Now, you mentioned a sort of 12 to 18 month time frame there. I think the last time I looked, the company had about 20 mil in the till. That's more than enough to keep you going for that sort of time frame and beyond, perhaps?
Absolutely, Barry. There's more than enough money in the till. Look, the biggest issues we're seeing at the moment is people resourcing assay turnaround. Those are the challenges we're facing day to day. But we're no different to any other explorer or potentially producer at the site as well, that are all feeling that pinch of people and assay turnaround. So we're moving through and have our ways to deal with some of those and strategies. So we're trying to work our way through those issues and continue to get results for the market.
What do you put the assay lab delay at the moment? About 10 weeks, like most?
Yeah, look, we send our assays to multiple labs, but yes, it's generally sitting at around that sort of, most labs are sitting around that 8 week mark. But if you include, effectively a week of transport and half a week of batching at the start, it does get closer to that 10 week mark. So that has become a bit of a frustration, and hopefully that'll improve over the next few months.
I must admit, and I hope the people of Kew don't get offended, it's not my favourite place, but you are well serviced with the infrastructure there on the Great Northern Highway, and you've got all those gold operations around you. So infrastructure-wise, access to services must be a nice part of the world to work in.
Oh, look, absolutely. We're kind of blessed, really, and we're only 3Ks off the Great Northern Highway. So it's like that ideal distance, really. Close to it, access is pretty good. Infrastructure is really good in that region. As you've mentioned too, there's multiple operating plants around us. There's opportunity there. But ideally, it's a standalone direction that we want to head. But yeah, look, and to not put a fine point on it, but Kew's actually a lovely little town. Good little spot. Beautiful time of year as well. Wildflowers are out in robust fashion at the moment too, Barry.
Okay, Wildflowers. Does it have a pub?
Has a wonderful little pub, yep. There's always that's always an important selling factor.
All right, I'll take everything back I said about it. you might hate me for this one, but the namesake comes from Nickel Focus, an original Nickel Focus over in the Musgrave region. I notice nickel's stormed through $20,000 a ton in recent times. I was just wondering, any prospect of reviving a focus on nickel over there?
Not internally within Musgrave, but we're definitely still looking for a joint venture partner for our ground in the South Australian portion of the Musgrave province. So there are interested people in greenfield nickel opportunities in that part of the world, then we're definitely happy to talk. So our focus is still gold, Barry. We think we've got a great project here in WA, but there's definitely, you're right, nickel is definitely booming, and with battery metals, there's potential for that to continue for a while as well.
Yeah, chance to create some value there. Okay. So, Rob, if you could just wrap it up for us and give investors a feel for what they should be looking out for, say, before the year's out.
Oh, look, yeah, key drivers for us are exploration results. So strong results going forward, multiple rigs out drilling, lots of drill holes are waiting for assays. So well over 160 drill holes waiting for assays to come back for. So there's definitely opportunity on the upside with those results to come back. We also think with the base of the resources we have at 660,000 ounces near surface, lots of opportunity to base our share price. We think that's a good background for the current share price. So there's lots of opportunity on the upside, we think, with the exploration results to flow. And also with the joint venture we have with Evolution is another key component of the work we're doing and results from that. That together with potential in the industry and potential for gold to have another run as well, Barry. I think, you know, that can't be discounted with, we've had pretty well an unprecedented world events affecting global economies in the last couple of years. And, the Delta variant of COVID is just one. Who's to say what's to flow through next? But there's we think gold is in a pretty strong position and potentially will be for time to come.
For sure. No disagreement on that score from me, Rob. Okay, there we go, folks. An interesting one. Great mix of exploration upside, existing resource, a joint venture with Evolution there that who knows what that will come up with. So with that, Rob, thanks for your time today. And we wish you all the best of luck with it all. And we'll speak again soon.
Thanks, Barry. Great to talk to you again on the pod.